For an inside look at the state's biggest footy league, it's the Monday Waffle.
Hello and welcome back to the Monday Waffle. I'm your host, Kate Massey, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mitchell Turner. Round three is finished. We're starting to get a better picture of how the season is going to play out. Mitch, what do you reckon?
Well, we're starting to see who are the better sides and who are the slightly weaker sides after a couple of games in now, Kate. So a couple of teams are pushing their case as premiership contenders and a few players putting their hand up for maybe some individual honours at the end of the year. But a great show coming up later on today. We've got Lee Kitchen joining us, the Subiaco captain. Great friend of the show, Kate, as we always say. We've got plenty of friends out there in the Waffle, and Lee is one of those for sure. So it'll be exciting to hear from him talking about their win against Swan Districts.
You must be happy with that. You had Subi win and Fremantle win this week.
It was a good weekend for me. It's a good Monday morning. I can't say the same for you because Tigers and the Cats, so Claremont and Geelong both going down. So the opposite, I had two from two and you went donuts over the weekend with your two teams.
Let's move on to the results from this week.
Yeah, very quick to move on there, Kate. Let's do it. So after losing in Claremont in round one, Subi managed to beat Swan Districts by 39 points on the weekend down at Bassendean. A few individual performances for Subiaco. Benny Sokol was quiet for most of the day, kicked one early, but ended up kicking two goals late. So he finished with three goals from only five touches. So the reigning Bernie Naylor medalist, slightly quiet day, but still managed to hit the scoreboard. Lockie Delahunty, we know as the reigning Sandover medalist, 24 disposals. So he's finding plenty of the ball. Kyle Horsley managed to hit the scoreboard. Two goals for Kyle Horsley, so maybe he's starting to get going in the season after a quiet first game. But Swan Districts, they found plenty of the ball themselves and did okay throughout the game, just didn't make the most of their inside 50s, which they tended to butcher the ball a little bit, unfortunately. But two goals to William Reedy and Lee Coleman, which is great for them. And Jesse Turner found 23 disposals, and Stephen Payne also got himself on the board with a goal and 16 touches. So a few good performers there for Swan Districts, but unfortunately for them, they go down by 39 points to Subiaco, and they're still yet to get a win themselves, Swan Districts, in the 2020 season. South Freo defeated Claremont, Kate, in the game of the round. You went down there and caught a bit of that. Tell us a little bit about that game.
Yeah, so South Freo did defeat Claremont by 8 points. Some good players for Claremont, though. Deck Mountford, as always, 30 disposals. Jack Lucy, favourite of yours, Mitch?
Yeah, one of my favourite players, Jack Lucy. I thought he was going to get 30. At halftime, he was on 18 touches and he was looking good, but I think Jack's got to get a few more cheap touches. He's got to step out of the square a bit more. I want Jack to get his 30. Was 27 disposals a career high for Jack Lucy?
It was a career high. He had a career high at half time, actually, I believe.
Oh, so my gosh, he was flying. So, other performers from the Claremont game, Kate?
Anton Hamp, two goals, and Alec Waterman had 20 disposals and one goal.
Alec Waterman's fast becoming one of our favourite players in the Monday Waffle. We are so impressed with what he's doing. South Fremantle also had some pretty good contributors. Kate, who found the ball for South?
Jacob Dragovic, 25 disposals, 7 tackles. Jake Florenka had a great day, 21 disposals, 1 goal and 6 tackles. Nick Subin, 22 disposals, and Hayden Sloyth.
Yeah, Sloyth's moved to half forward a bit more this year. We know he's played small forward in the past, but obviously his best football's been through the midfield, and that's what saw him win a Sandover medal. But playing a bit of a different role as that half forward, kind of link between the midfield, and kind of every time he touched the ball on the weekend, something came from it. So not getting as much of the ball with, I think, only 16 touches, but his touches are of the highest quality, knowing Hayden Sloyth. But it's a potential grand final preview. Obviously, Subiaco, the other strong side up there, but South and Claremont, it wasn't always pretty, the game on the weekend, but that was probably a result of kind of the pressure and both sides not really wanting to give an inch. But Kate, South Freo remain undefeated 3-0, and Claremont didn't lose any friends from that game.
So now we've got East Perth defeating East Fremantle, Mitch.
Yeah, so East Freo got a win over Peel last week, but didn't quite bring the same form this weekend. They're struggling a little bit, got a few injuries and not looking the best this year. But East Perth, great for them to get a win after they kind of came close to Perth the week before but weren't able to get the job done. But they beat East Freo by 43 points, so a great showing there. For East Perth, plenty of guys getting their hands on the ball. So Angus Scott, 32 touches. He started this year season on fire. I believe he could be the leading possession getter in the Waffle in the first few rounds. He is just racking it up every week. He's right up there. Rowan Kerr, the former West Perth Royal, has had 30 disposals. Our man, Aiden Lynch, Kate. We spoke to him during the week after he had, I think it was, 32 last week or up there in the 30s. And this week he's backed up again.
God, he's good, isn't he? 28 disposals, one goal, four tackles. Also, Aiden, I must say, I'm so sorry that I didn't believe in East Perth.
Just for a little bit of backstory, when we did our tips last week, we had a chat to Aiden, we did our tips.
Kate went with East Frio, I went with East Perth. I backed our man. But Aiden had to listen to the episode and he was very quick to get on the message back to us and say he was disappointed that Kate didn't tip the Royals. But I think he's made her a believer now. Nick Robertson also, first game after he missed the first one with suspension, kicked three goals, playing a fair bit forward. So that's a good start for Nick Robertson. I just want to highlight Matthew Young found three goals himself and Jackson Ramsey, 28 touches. I think he's my sandover medal tip at the moment. I said it last week, but he is as good a midfielder as there is in the comp. Jackson Ramsey is a star and he should be playing AFL football. He is a gun.
Calling it early.
I can't hype it up anymore. He should still be on an AFL list. He was at Collingwood, but he is a gun. And I'm saying right now, they're going to struggle to win some games, East Perth, but he's going to be the top few of the sandover medal.
Oh, you have heard it here first, everyone. Now, for East Frio, we had Jordan Snadden, 27 disposals and one goal.
Blaine Bockhurst also had 25 disposals. So the former Carlton man, as always, getting plenty of the ball through the middle of the ground for the Sharks. Luke Stranatica had three goals. So the man who's got a great name for Scrabble, finding himself on the scoreboard.
It's a name that I can't say.
It's a hard one to say, Luke Stranatica. So he's a good footballer. And once again, they couldn't get the win, but showing his worth. And of course, Cody Leggett, we see once again why they fought so hard for him over the last 18 months to get him over to the club, because he had 21 disposals and five tackles. But disappointing for East Frio not to follow up that win against Peel, but we'll see if they can bounce back in the weeks to come.
Speaking of disappointing there, Mitch, Peel has been defeated by West Perth by a significant amount this week.
Yeah, so they showed a fair bit in the first few weeks, Peel, more than we probably thought they would in the pre-season. So they took it right up to Perth in their first game. Then they came out and they took it up to the Sharks for a fair bit the week after as well. But unfortunately, they came up against a very, very good side in West Perth and they got done by a significant margin, 92 points there, Kate. So, not a great day for Peel. But on the flip side of that, a very, very good day for West Perth. Some pretty good contributors across the board. And it's the same names that we've seen for the last decade for West Perth. Shane Nelson, 30 disposals and a goal. It's rarely you'll find a week where Shane Nelson isn't right at the top of the disposal getters. Aaron Black, the captain and Sandover medalist, 27 disposals. A good friend of the show, Aaron Black. We like to say he's a great man. And Luke Meadows, Kate.
Luke Meadows, back in form. 27 disposals, two goals, six tackles. Great day for him.
Yes, he had a quiet start coming out of the quarantine, kind of he had to do when he came back from the VFL. But that's why everyone was so keen to have Luke Meadows back at West Perth, because as we can see there from his stat line, that is as good as it gets.
And then for Peel, we had Jackson Merritt, 33 disposals, four tackles. Blair Bell, 20 disposals, two goals.
Michael Randall, 20 disposals, six tackles. And we'll touch on, congratulate Ben Hancock for becoming only the 10th player to play 100 league games for Peel Thunder. So well done, Ben Hancock. He's been a very good contributor for a long time for the club. And he's still quite young, Ben. So he could be going for that club record, which I believe could be held by Rory O'Brien potentially with about 139 or something like that. So, Ben Hancock is hopefully stays around the club a bit longer and pushes through these tough periods. And he does indeed chase down Rory O'Brien's record of 139 games, the former Sandover medalist.
Big congratulations to him. I think it's time to hear from Lee.
It is indeed, our man, the Bishop.
You're listening to the Monday Waffle.
Right now, we're going to have a talk to one of the good friends of the show here at the Monday Waffle. He's played 108 games of waffle football, three premierships. We had a chat to him during our pre-season Waffle Captain Series. It's none other than Subiaco captain Lee Kitchen. Lee, welcome back to the show and welcome to the winners list for the 2020 season.
Thanks, Mitch. Thanks, Kate. It's good to be on the list.
Now, you had 2 weeks to stew over that loss to Claremont. It must be nice to get that win on the board.
Yeah, it's certainly presented a long 2 weeks when you lose the first one out of the gate, followed by a bye. So it gave us a chance to work on a few things. That was the positive, I guess, but pretty thankful that we've had the chance to go out there and play a bit better this weekend.
Now, obviously, it wasn't a great start to come out and lose that game to Claremont. Was there anything you worked on in particular in those 2 weeks leading up to the win against Swans?
Yeah, there were plenty of things that we needed to improve upon. The one thing we really picked up on, I guess, was our desperation and attack on the footy. We thought we probably was subpar to where we expected to be. And I don't know if that was just partly the fact that we hadn't played footy for a long time, or we had played a couple of practice matches, but really we haven't had that genuine in-season fierce competitive game. So there was that and some things in how we were moving the ball that we really tidied up. And we're still not there, but we're definitely showing signs of improvement in what we're trying to achieve when we are moving it.
You don't have you don't quite have a full strength side on the park just yet. Still a few injuries, and you talked about improving the ball movement there. But you know, one player, Ben Newton, has struggled in the past few years with injuries. But he's looking great so far. It must be good to have him running around the midfield.
Oh, he's an elite footballer. I think he's still pretty well underrated in the competition when Ben's up and going. And I think actually last week was the first loss he'd been involved in his nearly 30 games at the playing for the club. So. Yeah, he's as valuable as anyone to our team. He's pretty much no holes in his game, so it's pretty great every time he gets a run out and he's out there with you.
Well, speaking of those injuries, Harry Marsh has re-injured his hamstring. Do we know how serious that is yet?
Actually not sure where that's at the moment. I think he had a bit of a scare a couple of weeks ago, but he was feeling fit to play, so I'm not sure where it ended up, if it's just he was being cautious and we're looking after him, or if it's going to be a bit more sinister.
And still going down the injury path a little bit, Lee. Or not sure how much you know about these players, but you've still got a couple out. Ryan Borchett and Jordan Lockyer, premiership players and really key parts of the side. Are they any closer to coming back to the side, or are they still a little bit away?
Borch is getting pretty close, so it'd be good to welcome him back over the next couple of weeks. Not sure if it'll be this week or in a couple of weeks' time. And Locks is, still trying to find out where he's going to be at. Still pretty hopeful that he'll make it back before the end of the year. We've had a similar injury with Chris Phelan a couple of years ago, and he made it back and had real impact. So there's a lot of hope that Locks will be able to do the same.
You've got South 3-0 this week. It's a massive challenge. How are you preparing?
Exactly right, Kate. Huge challenge. They're playing great footy at the moment. It's got to see the second half of their game. The weekend just gone, and a strong win against Claremont. And we know what they bring. They're incredibly competitive. They're moving the ball well. They're fast. They've got a bit of a different look this year, playing some players in different positions. Strom's looking really dangerous on the wing. So we just have to try and do our best to play the brand of footy we want to play. We know when we can do that, we'll be competitive with them. But it's just about us trying to replicate that and slow down their guns that they do have.
Well, 3:05 start time. It is the broadcast game on Channel 7 this weekend, so people will be able to either get down to Leaderville or at least watch it on the telly. Just talking quickly on South 3-0 there, Lee, they're a pretty dangerous side up forward. How are you going to combat those kind of tall forwards they've got with Mason Shaw and Jimmy Miller, and then, the mix with all those smalls as well, such as Hayden Sloth, who looks like he's playing half forward? Is there specific matchups you'll work on during this week targeting them?
Oh, I think so. I'm not sure exactly where that'll be at with our matchups this week yet. I'm sure we'll put a lot of work into them this week. Jimmy Miller's definitely looking dangerous after coming over from Frankston. Did some really big things in the last quarter of the game against Claremont. And Mason Shaw's just proven over years that he's a goal kicker and a force for them up there. And then they've got a lot of speed at ground level. And Sloyty obviously is an awesome finisher, whether he's setting up his teammates or finishing in himself. So, yeah, we'll have our work cut out for us down there.
Well, Lee, it's always an honour speaking to you on the Monday Waffle, and we wish you luck for this weekend against South 3-0.
Thanks, Kate. Thanks, Mitch. Thanks for having me on. Have a good week.
Pop the confetti. I'm Dennis Scametti.
Dennis Scametti.
You're listening to the Monday Waffle. Monday Waffle.
Kate, a few injuries coming out of the weekend that we can report on. East Perth had a bit of a rough day at the office. They're already missing a few, we know, with Pat McGinnity going down last week with a groin, which we're not too sure yet how long he'll be out for. But another few injuries coming out of the game against East Freo on the weekend. Corey Watts, a very badly broken finger from all reports. Wasn't great to see. Jamie Rudgerham was concussed during the game. He's had a pretty good start to the year. And big name recruit Angus Schumacher from Carlton, he rolled his ankle. So from what I've heard, potentially a bit more precautionary on the Angus Schumacher one, not wanting to lose a great player, but hopefully he's all good for this week. But other injuries, Kate?
So we had West Perth, Thomas Med had a dislocated shoulder, and for Subiaco, Harry Marsh has obviously that hamstring injury that we spoke to Lee about.
Yeah, so hopefully Harry Marsh, who's a terrific footballer, a former Sydney Swan, hopefully his hamstring isn't too bad, but normally they are a 3-4 weeker, which this year is a massive time out in a shortened season.
Well, let's move on to some, you know, lighter news. Mitch, big week for the Turner family, I believe. You had a cousin debut.
Yes, he let me know about it all week. Jonty Turner, I've got to throw a mention out to him. I've got to do the right thing by the family. He made his debut for East Perth this week. So it's his third year of football, playing soccer his whole life. So well done, Jonty. Had six touches playing in a forward pocket, half forward role. But good on Jonty. Had his jumper presented to him at the start of the game by former captain Kyle Anderson, which is a pretty cool honour that he enjoyed, but hopefully keeps his spot this week. But well done, Jonty.
To the ladder now, Mitch. South Freo looking good there at the top, 3 from 3.
Yeah, they are indeed. So 3 from 3 for South Freo with a massive percentage of 220 with some big wins. West Perth are 2 and 1, sitting in second spot. Also Claremont with 2 wins and 1 loss in third. And then Perth are rounding out the top four. They had the bye on the weekend, but they are obviously 2 from 2. Then the bottom kind of sides are East Perth, Subiaco and East Freo. 5th, 6th and 7th respectively, all sitting on 1 win, with East Freo's percentage unfortunately very low after copping a few hammerings. And then Swan Districts and Peel Thunder, unfortunately, both have played 3 games and are yet to register a win. So they're sitting at the bottom of the table, but starting to get some sort of clearer idea on what the ladder could be starting to look like, with South Freo out in front on 3 and 3. But we'll see if it stays that way after playing Subiaco this week.
It's time for the Monday Waffle Tips.
As you have just heard there, it's time for the fixtures and our tips for round 4. Now, we've got West Perth v East Perth, 2:30 on Saturday at Joondalup. It's also broadcast on 91.3.
Yes, Sport FM, Kate. They play one game every round as partners to the Waffle, and this week it's the Derby.
Who are you tipping?
I feel like we're going to get in trouble here from our man Aiden Lynch again, but I'm going to go with West Perth. I think they'll get the win. What about you, Kate?
So am I.
I can see you really wanted to bow to peer pressure there, but no, we'll go, yeah. We're both going with West Perth. They're a good side. And East Perth, with those injuries that they've got and a few out, they might just struggle a little bit. And sorry, Jonty. Claremont v Peel, 2:30 at Claremont Oval at Revo Fitness Stadium. Kate, Claremont v Peel, who are you going in this game?
I don't think it's a hard choice for me. It'll be Claremont.
Yeah, Claremont across the board here. I'll be going with the Tigers as well.
East Freo v Perth, 2:30 at New Choice Homes Park, so the East Freo home game. Who are you tipping?
I think I will go with Perth on this one. I don't know what to make of East Freo just yet. They're struggling a bit, but Perth had the bye. They looked good early on, and yeah, I think Perth, straightforward for me. What about you, Kate?
Perth for me. They haven't lost a game yet.
No, 2 from 2, so a good start. They've only played Peel and East Perth, so yeah. Haven't played the stronger sides yet, but hey, not a bad start for Perth. They come against East Freo as well now, and they could be 3 from 3. The last game of the round, kicking off at 3:05 at Leadable Oval, Kate, is
Subi v South Freo.
Game of the round. So Subi obviously have only played 2 games, had that loss to Claremont in round 1, and then bounced back against Swans. South Freo, as we've already spoken about, 3 from 3 at the top of the ladder after beating Claremont. So they also beat West Perth, if I'm not mistaken, last week. So South Freo have actually beaten a few good sides already. So they've been tested. But this one here is as hard a game to pick as we can find, actually.
It's
last week, Claremont v South was a hard one to pick, and we got it wrong. We all went Claremont in the Monday Waffle. Or I'm going to have to go with Subiaco, because that's where my allegiances lie. So that's the only thing I can lean on here. But, gee, South looked good on the weekend. It's tough, isn't it? It's a hard one to pick.
I'm going to go South, just so we don't have the same tips.
There you go. That's what we say. We love a little bit of debate, controversy and disagreement on the Monday Waffle, because like we said, it separates the pack from the rest. So, Kate, on next Monday, I'm not sure if it'll be us or one of our colleagues on the show, but Subi v South, we'll see who's right. That's all we have time for this week on the Monday Waffle. As always, if you've enjoyed listening to the show, then make sure you click subscribe. And as always, if you want to get involved, head over to our socials and flick us a message, ask us a question, or if you have someone you want to hear from, then let us know and we'll see if we can get in contact with them. Always happy to help out our fans. But
until next time, enjoy the footy.
If you're loving the Monday Waffle podcast, make sure you head to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Monday Waffle, for more awesome content. And while you're there, give us a like.